I can see you guys, but I can't hear you. Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
All right. Hey.
I don't know what you did, but that did it.
Yes, I can't see you guys though anymore.
I can fix that. Yeah.
Well, last
Okay.
time everything went away. If you just hit the video button, it should.
There we go.
There we go. All right, we'll
Okay.
try again. All right, Randy. All right. Sorry,
Yeah.
guys. Let me call this meeting to order.
We are recording.
Okay, thank you. We have a guest to introduce.
Quentin just left, so no.
I guess I want to welcome Christy and Allison as part of my group today. Approval by participation by electronic means. So moved. Okay, second. All in favor, aye. Okay. Modifications to the agenda. Are there any? Hearing none, let's move on. Any public comment received?
We did not receive any.
Yeah, let's go to the approval of the March 19th, 2024 audit committee meeting minutes. Second. All agree.
Aye.
Aye. Ratification of the December 11th, 2024 audit engagement letter signed by myself and Michael. Any questions or comments on that other than just move to ratify?
So,
Second, all in favor?
aye.
Okay, audit presentation and discussion. Allison.
Thank you. Good morning. So I am here to present the audited financial statements, which actually do look a lot different than prior years. So We'll start by saying we issued an unmodified opinion. So that's a good, clean opinion, the highest level of assurance that we can give on a set of audited financial statements. I will point out on page one of the audit report, so that is where the actual independent auditor's report begins. A subtitle for one of the paragraphs dropped off of the draft, so that will be corrected in the final version. But you can see after the basis for opinion, we have, as discussed in note 10 to the financial statements, the authority adjusted its September 30th, 2023 financial statements to correct an error. Our opinion is not modified to that. There will be a subtitle above that paragraph called Emphasis of Matter. So just stating that IPTLH was incorporated into the financial statements for September 30th, 2023, for more really just comparability because it was included this year in the statements. It's really immaterial to the financial statements in the prior year, which is why it was not included. But for comparability's sake, we did go back through and include that in those September 30th, 2023 balances. So I wanted to point out that one paragraph in the opinion, or really the report. But other than that, again, it's an unmodified opinion, so a good, clean opinion. Beginning on page five is management's discussion and analysis, and that's provided to us by management, a narrative format of the financial statements, giving you more of a story of what occurred during the fiscal year. And there was a lot that occurred during the fiscal year. The completion of the, I'm sorry, I still call it the NFIL, but the incubator. Is that correct, Michael? I saw you look. Yeah, the incubator. I was like, I still out of habit, the NFIL, but
No
the
problem.
incubator. So completion of the incubator. So that was capitalized this year. So that was reported as construction in progress in the prior year, as well as funding received from Tallahassee State College for property or for really equipment and furnishings for the building, the incubator. And then the transfer of some of the legacy buildings to the universities. So there was a lot discussed in that narrative MD&A. I'll pause right there. Michael, do you want to add anything about the MD&A itself?
No, we just tried to create a narrative that went along with all of the transactions. And that's really our part that we draft. They review it to make sure we haven't misrepresented anything as part of the process. But that's just the narrative so that the reader can pick up and figure out what's going on with the financials, especially with all those old legacy assets being dropped off the balance sheet and the incorporation of the IPTLH.
Great. Thank you, Michael. And then beginning on page nine is your statement of net position. So this year, they do look, again, a lot different than in prior years because we have presented IPTLH as a fund of the authority. So basically, we've gone through and said, okay, these are two of the funds that are part of the overall authority entity. because IPTLH is considered to be a component unit of the authority, and the way it's blended in, it is presented as two funds. So you have LCRDA, the authority, in the first column with IPTLH in the second column. Total gives you the authority as a whole. And I did notice again some strange things dropped off in this draft, and that the word total disappeared on that column, that third column there. But that is just adding the two entities together. So you'll see here again the total current assets for both entities combined are 2.9 million. That's as expected. Balances for leases have been disposed of essentially from the balance sheet just due to the transfer of the legacy buildings. Those legacy buildings had the majority of the leases, or all of the leases really, for the authority. So since that transfer occurred on 9/15, 15 days before year end, those items dropped off. Accounts receivable was related to grant receivable in the prior year. That was all collected. As I stated before, the incubator was completed this year. So you also had a decrease in that balance as well. So again, that just kind of tells you the story of what happened this year for the current assets, with the decrease of from 4.6 million to approximately 3 million in the current year. On the non-current assets, again, that was comprised of a lot of the lease receivables. So the lease receivables have dropped off the balance sheet with the disposal or transfer of the legacy buildings. Construction in progress from the last year, 20.5 million, that was the incubator. So that has been capitalized this year. So that is included in the capital assets line of 24.2 million. So that 24.2 million is the capitalization of the incubator, along with the furnishings and equipment that were purchased prior to year end for the building, net of the transfer of the legacy buildings to the universities. So that accounts for the decrease from 29.8 million to 27.2. Majority of the legacy buildings were pretty close, if not all, depreciated. So that didn't make a huge difference here on the face of the financial statements. You'll see more of an impact in the financial statement footnotes. Really, the biggest decrease here is related to the lease receivables. So overall, your total assets and deferred outflows of resources, the only deferred outflow of resources that you have is related to the pension asset for the employees of the authority, but overall decreased from 29.9 million to 27.3 million. On the liabilities side and deferred inflows of resources, you'll see a decrease in accounts payable and accrued expenses. That's primarily due to construction, active construction in the prior year at year end, where construction was completed as of year end for this year. So no items, and that accounted for the decrease there in the accounts payable and accrued expenses. On the non-current liabilities, there was an increase to the borrowing on the line of credit from the Research Foundation to complete construction. So that went from 2.7 million to 4,148,000. And that 148,480 is related to accrued interest. The principal is 4 million, and we do disclose that in the notes to the financial statements. The deferred inflows of resources decreased with the leases again being transferred to the universities. So 2.2 million in the prior year and zero in the current year. Overall, your net position remained pretty consistent considering all the activity that went on during the year. But again, the leases are really primarily a balance sheet or statement of net position entry only, as you have the asset associated and the liabilities with those leases. So you have the lease receivables as well as the lease liabilities. So the transfer of those asset and liabilities was really kind of a net zero effect primarily on the statement of net position. And then the decrease in capital assets really, again, a lot of those were fully depreciated. So you will see you have 20.1 million net investment in capital assets. Primarily, that's contained in the authority with 19.3 million. And then the 771,000 in IPTLH is related to the furnishings and equipment in the incubator. So that is contained in IPTLH. You have a restricted balance of 816,596. That is the remainder of the funding received from Tallahassee State College that had not been expended as of year end. In the prior year, you did have restricted net assets that related to the Danfoss Turbocor agreement with the Economic Development Authority. So that has been released from restriction. So the only restriction this year is the remainder of the funding from Tallahassee State College. Your unrestricted net position is 1.7 million compared to last year of 2.8 million. So really, that's where you're going to see a lot of the net effect of some of those leases receivable and lease liabilities going away, as well as, some of the construction and grants activity as of the year end last year. That was a lot for the statement of net position. I'll pause to see if there's any questions before I go on to the next financial statement.
Thank you. Oh.
All right, I hear none. And I think you guys are all aware of all the activity, so I'm not saying anything that should be surprises to anyone. All right, on the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position, you did have a drastic decrease in operating revenues, primarily due to the grant activity. So that decreased from 13.1 million to 1.7 million in the current year. Primarily, the grant funding this year was received from Tallahassee State College, that 1.5 million you'll see in the IPTLH column. Leases, you do still have majority of your lease income for this year just due to the timing of the transfer as of September 15th. So we will expect to see a drastic decrease next year for that lease income. You do have the interest on those leases and then as well as the common area management fees. So essentially the common area management fees also stayed the same because none of the ground lease transfers or anything had occurred when that common area maintenance fees were billed. So next year we will expect to see a decrease there because of the transfer of ground leases and transfers of buildings. On the expense side, you'll see an increase in your depreciation and amortization expense, and that is due to the capitalization of the incubator this year. So depreciation increased from $275,000 in the prior year to $537,000 in the current year. Salaries and employee benefits remained pretty consistent with the prior year, as well as a slight increase in other expenses, but fairly consistent considering. You had a loss on the transfer of capital assets and leasehold interests of 2 million. So that occurred due to those transfer of the legacy buildings. To give you an overall operating loss for the year of almost 1.3 million compared to last year of net income of 12.4 million. So that is a drastic swing, but there was a lot of big activities that occurred during the year. We also have interest income as well as interest expense this year. Interest expense, of course, increased with the increased borrowing on the Research Foundation line of credit. Then we have your statement of cash flows, so which will show you the sources and uses of cash during the year. You'll see cash provided by operating activities this year was almost 2.2 million compared to 10.9 million in the prior year. Investing activities produced 82,000 compared to 65,000 in the prior year, and the net cash used in capital activities and related financing was 2.1 million compared to 12.3 million in the prior year. So you actually did have an increase in the cash and cash equivalents of 142,000 compared to a decrease in the prior year of 1.3 million. We have additional information there related to cash flows. But that is it on the financial statements themselves. So I will head into the foot if there are no questions so far. All right, hearing none. So we did have some changes here in note one. So we described IPTLH and being a blended component unit of the authority, and you'll see that in note one. Then we disclosed, which we didn't disclose in the past because the authority really was reporting as one fund only. But because we're reporting the authority with two funds now, which are considered to be major funds in governmental accounting, we disclose that you have the authority fund and the IPTLH fund and what those two account for. Other than that, note one remains pretty consistent with the prior year. We do disclose on page 16 in the subsequent events that there were recognizable subsequent events described in note four, and some of that has to do with the release of certain ground leases. And then we have the reclassification note just due to the inclusion of IPTLH this year and then certain reclasses that made that. made the prior year comparable to the current year. Note two, we discussed the ground leases and that effective September 15th with the transfer of the buildings, that 25 acres was approximately released back to the board, which is the Internal Improvement Trust Fund. And so the board then, we're assuming, assigned the leases to the universities. But as far as the authority was concerned, those were released back to the board. Note three, everybody's favorite footnote, talks about all of the retirement plan and really what we wait on for so long that we receive in late January is regarding the pension, the FRS, and how that relates to the authority and the contributions that the authority makes on behalf of its employees, as well as the associated liabilities. I'm sure that nobody wants me to go into detail on that footnote as it goes on for several pages. And I'm still scrolling because that footnote is extremely long. All right, so then we get to footnote four on page 29, after the retirement footnote, which discusses commitments and contingencies of the authority. So this was updated for several pieces of information. So you'll see here about halfway down the footnote regarding the subsequent to year-end event that occurred on December 17th, where the authority released its ground lease rights back to the board on the parcels associated with Danfoss. And then discussed in the paragraph below that is regarding the authority's agreements with the Office of Economic Vitality, and that those funds were received this year as the final milestone was reached and subsequently released. So those are unrestricted funds and no longer considered to be part of restricted net position. The next page, we discuss the incubator, or again, NFIL, and the capitalization and associated activity there related to the incubator building and all agreements that have been entered into for that building. We did state as of the end of our opinion date, so that will, where you see need date at the bottom of that page on page 30. There have been no actions or formal releases executed to officially transfer the park development assets or the NFIL. So we did state that since there have been no official signed agreements or anything. I know it has been discussed, but we did insert that one sentence there at the end of that note talking about the incubator. On page 31, we discuss all of the operating leases, which have now subsequently or prior to year end have been transferred on September 15th. So appropriately, we have added a sentence. I feel like almost at the end of every single paragraph in this note that although they are included here because of prior year and because you had essentially almost a whole year of activity in your September 30th, 24 financial statements, those leasehold interests were transferred as of September 15th. So that is included to describe each of the leases that were in effect during the year. We also discussed the common area management fees, as well as the resident and virtual memberships for the incubator. On the next page, note six, capital assets. This is where you will see the majority of the disposal or transfer of the legacy buildings. So you'll see here that you did have additions, transfers of buildings, but and the 22.9 million is related to the incubator. So that's referred to as a transfer in this footnote because it was transferred from construction in progress to an actual building that's being depreciated during the year. The deletions, the $9.2 million in buildings, is referring to the legacy buildings that were transferred to the universities. And then you'll see the associated accumulated depreciation as, with those transfers. We disclose about certain insurance coverages as well as interfund balances. Again, because there are two funds included in the financial statements, we've added that footnote, and those are eliminated on the face of the statements. You can see where they total and equal zero. But we do disclose those on page 34, those amounts for both of the years. We discussed certain related party transactions that were marketing services that were with a tenant. And then in note 10, we discussed the error correction, which is the inclusion of IPTLH in the September 30th, 2023 balances. Going on, I'll pause if there's no questions here related to anything I've discussed so far. Okay. Moving on, there are schedules presented in the financial statements relating to the FRS and the pension liability. I won't go over those in details, but those present information that we obtain from the actuarial report from the state of Florida that they have performed over the FRS. Those are only portions that are particular to the authority. So it does not have the entire FRS. It just has the authority's portion there disclosed in those schedules. Other reports, we have our report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance. That is required under government auditing standards. There are no items to report there, no issues. Because of the funding received this year from Tallahassee State College, we did perform a state single audit. So you will see reports associated with the state single audit there. That funding was received from the Department of Education to Tallahassee State College and then to the authority. There are no items to note in that report, so no items of compliance or internal control related matters. We do have the schedule in the back that is detailing out the total expenditures. So there was $816,000 expended during the year. The threshold for a state single audit is $750,000. So with the remaining funding that is left, we don't feel that the authority is going to trigger a single audit next year, thankfully. We do have
Can you
a...
say that again?
Just due to the remaining funding that is left on that Tallahassee State College grant, that we don't anticipate the authority triggering a single audit next year.
Thank you.
And then we also have a schedule of findings and question costs, which is required for the state single audit. So no items to report there, no issues, a good clean single audit report as well. And then in accordance with the Florida statutes and the rules of the Auditor General, we performed an examination to conclude that the authority is in compliance with the state statutes regarding investments and cash equivalents. That report is included in your financial statement package. And then finally, we have a management letter, which is required by the rules of the Auditor General, and that discloses certain information and procedures that we have gone through during the audit process, and no items to note there. Okay, well, that's probably the most I've gone through on financial statements and changes for you guys in a while, because there was just so much activity this year that changed a lot of balances on your financial statements. But that concludes my presentation on the financial statements themselves. We also have issued a report on, or will issue a report on, our required communications. And that report dictates to us that we communicate with you, the committee, that we've performed our audit in accordance with government auditing standards, that we've looked at certain estimates made by management and found that they've been properly supported by documentation. And really the main estimate for the authority is depreciable lives on fixed assets, and disclosing our independence as it relates to the authority. And the process that our firm goes through for independence is that we give a list of all of our clients to all of our employees every year. Any employee that has potential independence impairment issues notes that, and those are resolved by our director of quality control. If they are such that they cannot be resolved, we will withdraw from an engagement. And that's really the worst case scenario, but there was no items to report as it relates to the authority. And I'm also required to tell you that we had no issues performing our audit. I would say this one definitely took a little bit longer, just with everything that went on this year and the activity, adding IPTLH, discovering, the funding from Tallahassee State College. So there was quite a few things that went into the audit, but we received full cooperation from management as well as NAI Talcor. So we had no issues or no difficulties when performing this audit. I will pause if there are any additional questions or any comments from the committee.
Thank you very much, Allison.
Yeah. And I would add just to what you said, you mentioned a number of times about IPTLH. Last year, it was immaterial. This year, Allison and I had the conversation before the audit started, and I asked her for the most conservative way to present that information, given the state, the single entry audit we have to do. And Allison and THF suggested that we do it as a component blended unit, which is exactly how we did. And so that's where that came from. That was generated at the recommendation of THF, frankly.
Thank you. Allison, thank you very much. I want to welcome Dave Ramsey, who's our treasurer, to our meeting. Dave, any questions from you or from other committee members?
Everything's good here.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you because it was comprehensive, but clear to understand. So
very well done.
I move the pieces.
Yeah. For me, I just appreciate it, kind of like the split this year with the LCRDA and the Innovation Lab. So being able to see those side by side. Thank you.
Any other comments? Allison, thank you so much. This was quite a task. You really do appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. It's always a pleasure to serve the authority.
Yeah, and Michael and staff, I want to thank you so much for all the involvement that they had here.
Really, so I know it's a heavy lift with all the stuff we have to provide.
It's the explaining this year. More of the explanation, the narrative of what happened, right? The numbers are the numbers, but the bigger issue is explaining what actually triggered his road test. Okay, terrific.
Great job, everybody.
Thanks, Allison.
You're welcome.
Anything else, Greg?
We do need a motion on item 9.
Second. Mm-hmm.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Report accepted. And again, thank you very much, Allison. Move on to new business. Is there any new business to come before the committee? If not, ladies and gentlemen.